creating and rekindling memories. NHR.
Well, I would like now to introduce my very special guest, and he is Chris Neal, and he is Assistant Head of Facilities at NUH. So, welcome, Chris.
Morning, Mary.
Morning. So, we'll talk a little bit more about your actual role, and I've got lots of questions about the food, which I'm sure everybody will want to hear. But first of all, let's go back to this news I heard today that you yesterday won an award. So tell us all about it.
Yes. So the catering team were shortlisted to attend the finals of the Public Sector Catering Awards in London yesterday. The award was for the work that we've done around infant food and identifying a gap that we had within the services and nutrition for children and babies, and we've come up with solutions and resolved the issue and now implemented menus for babies and then working on to food for babies, you know, weaning, etc. And it's proved a great success. So yeah, we were shortlisted for finals and we were awarded the winners yesterday.
The winners, that's absolutely marvellous. I don't know, you seem to get a lot of bad press sometimes, but that's really good to hear something positive. So then, Chris, you are Head of Facilities. So tell us about that. What does that involve?
So my role is looking after facilities, which are cleaning, catering, logistics, patient movement, all of the services that make things happen around the trust. But I'm also the trust catering lead. My background is within catering, and I've been with the organisation for 32 years, starting within the catering department and progressing to head of catering and then into my role as assistant head of facilities. So, yeah, very, very diverse role, exciting, lots of challenges, but lots of rewards also.
Yes, I can imagine. Well, it's a lot of aspects to keep your finger on, I have to say. Today, though, I thought it would be nice to talk about the food. I did read somewhere that you prepare 1,800 meals a day. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep, so 1,800 meals per service. Is what we do. So we're just short of 2 million meals per year, and that's covering breakfast, lunch and evening meal.
Good heavens. And where's the food prepared?
So we have a central food production unit over at the City Campus. Very fortunate that the Trust invested in its own kitchens. We have our own resilience in there, that we don't rely on other providers to provide food into the hospital. All the food that is produced in our CPU is using local ingredients. So within the Nottinghamshire, Derbyshire area, all of our suppliers are local, and 65% of all the ingredients used in our main menus are from local sourced farms. So that's really, really great. The catering team looks after the whole of catering, so from placing orders with suppliers to receiving the food to storing it, preparing it, freezing it. So we run a cook freeze operation, which means that ingredients are brought in, we prepare and cook the food fresh on site, and then we blast freeze it to maintain all the nutrients in the food. It's then kept in a large freezer, which is great in summer but not so good in winter, we have a supply of food in there that will probably be able to feed NUH for 3 weeks.
Blimey, that's a lot. So that sounds a big operation. So how many staff do you have?
So we have around 60 in the food production team over two sites, and then is around 100 old-time equivalents for both sites, for each site, for food service staff, serving 10 hours per day on the wards, delivering the breakfast, lunch and evening meal, as well as beverages and snacks and all the others through the day.
What a lot to do. What I forgot to mention earlier is that I have another guest in the studio, and he is Rajiv, and he is going to chip in and ask Chris some questions.
Yeah, as if by magic. I pop out of nowhere, don't I, Mary? Great to be with you, and great to meet Chris. I suppose one the obvious question, Chris, and it might be a no-brainer, but are you a chef yourself? Are you someone who's got a background in cookery yourself?
I am. Yep, I'm a chef by trade. That's my specialist area. I started in the catering industry after leaving school at 15, and requested that I continue doing the split shifts like all of my other colleagues did. I had to seek special permission from my parents to be able to do the shifts. But I did 3 years in the hospital in the hospitality industry before moving to City Campus to be a chef. Brought my expertise from the hospitality high-end catering to NUH and felt that I'd got a lot to offer patient feeding. It had got a perhaps not so great reputation at the time, but I felt that it's something I could bring to the table and make my job rewarding, knowing that I'm looking and feeding people from the Nottinghamshire local areas.
Yes. I mean, it's a tall order, really, having to provide food for people who are in various stages of from being very poorly to being, you know, OK, just with a broken leg, but still got a good appetite. So it must be a nightmare, really, to kind of organise the food.
Yeah. So just a little bit about our menus. We did have menus, and there are lots of hospitals, catering industries out there that would have a catering manager that decides what the menus are. At Nottingham, we're slightly different. We going back probably to 2017, decided that we wanted a menu which was what our patients wanted. So our menu at Nottingham is a menu designed by the patients, for the patients. So actually, we went out to social media, we did ward visits, we went to local media and asked the people of Nottingham what would they like to see on their menu. This is their menu, it's what they have when they come into hospital, and what would make them recover better. Because when you're in hospital, you want food that you want to eat.
Exactly,
and that's what's going to make you feel better. So we had a massive response for the requests. We then take those dishes back to the production area, and we'll work on developing them. Not everything works. You know, we had some really strange requests. Well, I say strange, but not so. Cucumber onions in vinegar. It's a Nottingham favourite from the days. I remember it as a child. But obviously it wouldn't work on the patient feeding menu. So we picked the dishes at Woodwork, we developed them, and we then introduced them to the menu. And we review the menu annually. So we still go out to the members of the public on an annual basis to see what they'd like to see on the menu.
Interesting. So, I mean, I know that obviously the patients look at the menu. So how do you kind of make sure that you've got the right choice for the patient who's chosen it, if you know what I mean? Because, you know, they'll be asked what they would like.
Yes.
So somehow it's got to get over to you.
Yep. So, again, we are very fortunate that the trust invested in the catering services, and we have a digital meal ordering system, which allows us to be quite unique, but we take the order for patients, as many of the patients will know, just after they've had their breakfast. That order is taken via an iPad, and then we upload it back into our production areas, and it's a full list of the meals that are requested for the patients. The food is picked from our freezers, it goes into a transport dolly, and then it's sent to the wards, and it's regen for 90 minutes. So our food is frozen and it goes for a 90-minute regen. All of this happens from 9 and it's served till 12, giving patients the optimum advantage of getting their first choice request.
I see.
Yeah, when you say regeneration, what's the process of that then for 90 minutes? What happens?
So we have special regen trolleys which are on the ward, and to regen food, you're not going to put it on a temperature of 180, 190 because it's going to be ruined on the outside, but still frozen or not cooked or eaten on the inside. So the regen process is anything between 110 and 140, and it fluctuates through the cooking cycle or eating cycle, and then finishes off with a blast of 140 just to make sure that things that need to be crisp and browned and gratinated are so. So yeah, it's a 90-minute regen. The food is then taken from the regen trolley and it goes on to the top of the trolley, which is under halogen lights for display purposes and serving.
I see. So at City, it's put on this regen trolley. Is that what you're saying? And so, then brought over to Queen's?
No. So the food is cooked over at City.
Yes.
It goes into the freezer and we've got a frozen vehicle that we send the food over to Queen's on a daily basis. And it's stored in a smaller freezer at Queen's, but it's the same process. The food is ordered, it's taken from a freezer, it goes into a regen trolley, and that's reheated at ward level.
I see, because that was my a question I thought of. How on earth does it get to the bedside and be warm?
Yep. So that's about the trolley, and then the trolley is then mobile, so it's pushed then around the ward to serve the patients. Yeah, it's a service and a model that works. Interestingly, not many people are aware that we've only got one site that we produce the food on, and we get comments saying, "Well, the food at Queen's is better than at City," and we say, "Well, it's the same food."
I can imagine. Yes. Well, that's all very interesting. And this morning, when I was on the wards, I told everybody that I was going to have a chat with you, and one or two issues came out. And somebody on B47 said, would it be possible, as some of his patients are not able to read or even remember choices, would it be possible to have a kind of display menu with photographs of the meals?
Yep, so something that we're working on within the department, and it's on the agenda in our food and menu work stream. Just to say that all the pictures on the menu that the patients will have at their bedside are the pictures of the food, so there's no internet pictures on the menu. So when patients look at the current pictures on our menu, that's the food that they will receive. So if someone looks at a dish and said, "That looks nice," that is what you'll receive. But I think for patients with different languages and maybe with dementia, that's certainly something that we're looking to have as a pictorial menu.
Exactly, yes. I hadn't thought of people whose first language is not English. That would be obviously very helpful. So, yes, that was interesting. So, do you get a lot of waste?
So, we record unserved meals. The national average is 10%, which we have to submit, and we're currently below 6% of unserved meals. We're just in the process of again working on plate waste. I think plate waste is something that we need to be aware of. We need to be ensuring that people are getting the right amounts, and some of that work is around, do we need to reduce some of the portion sizes or give patients the opportunity to choose a smaller portion? There's nothing worse than getting a large plate of meal when you're not feeling great, and
exactly,
actually it puts you off the whole meal. So if we can look at a reduced portion for patients, maybe it'll encourage them to eat the meal. The things that we need to factor into that is, to reduce a portion size, we need to increase the nutritional content.
Yes,
of
meal. Course. It has to be a balanced meal.
It does.
Of course.
It
yes,
does.
Yes. So what happens to the waste?
So our waste is taken away. It is all taken off site, and it's all used for reusable energy. So we have no waste at NUH. It goes to landfill. It's all goes for reusable energy.
Marvellous. That's good. So, Rajiv, can you think of anything interesting?
Yeah, no, I was just having a look at, Mary, you brought this in from one of our friends up in F22, Julian. So there are some specific menus that relate to different patients' needs. We've got a low-fibre menu here, for example. So there seems to be quite a lot of variety there. I didn't know that you sound out the patients, and that's... The menus are basically assembled from their preferences as well. So I guess you're giving the people what they want, really.
Absolutely. There are lots of special dietary requirements on site. Anything from renal food, low fibre, vegan, lots of special requests that we get. So what we do is, rather than try to change a menu so it suits all categories, so it would be suitable for a low fiber renal, you're taking out ingredients that actually makes the dish not what it should be. So 95% of our patients will be eating off a main menu and would want a good quality lasagna, for instance. If we were wanting to use that same lasagna for a renal patient, we'd take out the mushrooms, we'd take out the tomatoes. Actually, the 95% of the patients that were expecting lasagna would say that doesn't resemble a lasagna to them. For our renal patients, it would to them, because they're used to not having tomatoes and mushrooms. So what we've done over the years is devise special diet menus, so bespoke menus for each patient category, rather than one size fits all.
Yes, interesting. Well, it sounds an awfully busy job. So what time does your day start?
I'm quite fortunate. I'm starting around 8 o'clock and till around 4 or 5. But the team are on, from 6 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. We do provide a 24-hour offer for food. So even for patients that have missed their meal for a procedure or off the ward for any reason, we have various options. We have snacks in the ward pantry. Beans, soup, toast, sandwiches. So food is available around the clock. We also have snack bags, which are available upon request. So we do cover the patient's needs 24/7.
Marvellous. It sounds like room service 24/7.
Yeah, it does, yes. Yeah.
Quick last question from me, Chris. As a trained chef, what sort of stuff would you cook for yourself at home? Like, give us an idea of something that might be a bit different that you could make at home that the average person might not make.
I'm pretty basic, to be honest. I do like traditional comfort food, the family favourite style foods, a good homemade meat and potato pie, or a roast dinner. Steak and chips, can't beat steak and chips. I do tend to go on the standard family favourite type meals.
Oh, it sounds good to me. Got me hungry again now. I've just had my breakfast as well. So
yes.
But thanks for that, Chris.
Well, thanks very much for all the very interesting information. Is there anything you would like to add to wind up our chat?
Just for patients to look out, when we go in back out for our next menu review, please be assured that all of the comments that you raise and you point to us, we do take them seriously, and anything that we can do to improve the patient experience is what we'd like to do. So, please feedback, good, bad or indifferent, all comments are welcome.
Thank you for that. Well, I really am very impressed with the whole setup, apart from, trying to give the patients what they need, and also to use local resources. That's marvellous. So, again, thank you very much, Chris. And I would like to end this little chat with a request of your choice. So, would you like to tell us what you've chosen?
An old-time favourite of mine, Eurasia, A Little Respect.
Did you know that Nottingham Hospital Radio is a registered charity? As a result, we rely on people like you to donate to it. All our members are committed volunteers who run the service for the benefit and entertainment of the patients in the Queen's Medical Centre and City Hospitals. Research has shown that listening to hospital radio can positively benefit a patient's recovery, and we think it's a very worthwhile thing to do. Donating to NHR is easy and rewarding, so please log on to nhradio.org.uk and go to the donate page. That's nhradio.org.uk/donate. You'll be glad you did, and thank you.